verse 19. Before we do, we realize that we've got too many things happening on September the 17th. And so the way this is going to look, we're going to go ahead and have our men's breakfast, but instead of a speaker at 8 o'clock, when our speaker would normally start, we're going to go ahead and go over to the Caring Hearts PRC Walk for Life. And so the men who want to come, you can come for breakfast and you can leave from breakfast if you want. I mean, if you don't have time to walk, but if you got time to walk, we're going to go walk in support of Caring Hearts PRC. They're going to be meeting at the little parking lot across from the courthouse down in the square. They call it the town square, sort of. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to walk down the sidewalk there in Potosi in support of the PRC. And this is a pregnancy resource center that helps to minister to people in our community. And because of that timing and everything, I think that they've decided to... Okay. So I'm being told now that the ladies' brunch will still be happening. This stuff it kind of rolls out on the fly. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. You think you can handle it? Okay, so what do the ladies think? Can we handle it? Okay, I got at least one. That's a vote in the affirmative. All right, praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been going through 2 and just I've just been enjoying so much just seeing how awesome God is. His sovereignty is unsearchable. There's no way that we could ever just put it in a box and try to explain it completely or fully. God is able to you know, just astound us with his wisdom and with his power and with his majesty. And the way that he works in people's hearts is the most incredible thing. He works in the unseen place. Each one of us individually, while he's working with the larger group as well. And he's doing stuff worldwide, even for unbelieving people at the same time, taking care of the whole world. Amen? This is our God. Our God is so amazing. But he gives us little glimpses in the scripture of ways that he does explain himself to us. And, you know, it's kind of like we talk to a baby. Do you ever try to talk to a baby? They don't have the big, full vocabulary that you have yet. But, you know, they learn from us as we do. And so that's what we are like. We are just like those infant children, and we're learning as we go. Amen? And so little glimpses of how awesome God is. And we're going to see another little glimpse of how awesome God is today in talking about the household of God. Isn't that amazing? To think that we can be part of the household of God. So we focus a lot of our time and energy in this world on our own households, right? Our place to live. I mean, we got to have a place to live. How many of you guys have ever lived in a tent for any prolonged period of time? Even just gone camping and gone tent camping. Okay? It's pretty basic, right? I mean, it's sort of shelter, but, you know, especially if you don't have an air mattress and you're sleeping on the ground or you don't have any kind of pad, it's a little less than enjoyable. And I think that's one of the reasons why we do spend so much of our energy looking at our shelter, our home, and a place to live, a place to dwell, a place that's warm when it's cold outside, right? We like that. A place that's cool when it's warm outside, we like that, right? In fact, a lot of our energy and a lot of our resources ends up going in that direction. How long is that house going to last? How long is your house, your home, your earthly household itself going to last? Are you taking it with you? Okay, so we do spend some energy, and I'm not faulting that. I do as well, and I like having a decent house to live in. It's nice. But ultimately, I know that I'm not taking it with me. That's not the place I'm going to spend forever in. And that really needs to be my larger focus, is the place I'm going to spend forever in. Would you guys agree? You know, what's cool is, we've even got some in our congregation this morning. I know Ryan's been working on establishing a new place to put a foundation to build their new house on. And I pray thee well in that, for sure. It's a big project. And I know been involved in seeing John and Haley get their place established, still working on that. We're still working on mine. It's been 11 years now. So, but you know, it's just one of those things like, it's awesome to see it go up and everything, but I know just as sure as I'm building that thing that, you know, it's going to need repairs. It's not going to last forever. But this household of God lasts forever. Do y'all remember Jesus saying something to his disciples about the household? In John chapter 14, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Isn't that awesome? "That where I am, you may come also." Isn't that awesome? He's preparing a place for us. What do you think that place is like? I can tell you, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be everything we need, everything we could ever imagine. It's going to be perfect in every way, shape, and form. It's going to leave nothing to be desired at all, and it's going to be forever. Does that make your heart go, "Oh yeah"? Isn't that awesome? You know, we're not going to stress over fixing the leaky sink or the hole that got rotted in the bathroom floor because of that little leak we didn't know about for about 10 years. You ever had one of those? You notice the toilet leans a little more every day? And you're wondering why, and then one day you realize why. Happens a little bit at a time, the decay that we feel in this world, but you know, there's going to be none of that in heaven. Isn't that awesome? I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. You know, In fact, I kind of live in this other home of the flesh. You guys have that too, the body? And, you know, whether or not you like to admit it, you're getting older every day, right? And I'm learning. There's a little decaying process going on there too. Amen? You know, but praise God for every day and praise God for what he gives us. But I'm looking forward to that household of God, which I'm actually part of now through belief in Christ. But I'm going to get to realize in full whenever I'm there with him. Let's read verses 19 through 22. If y'all want to stand, by standing we're saying this is for me today. Let us read chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 19 through 22. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Amen? "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Dear Father, I pray that every individual in this house has a relationship with Jesus. I pray that every one of us can claim that we have a number one address on a lot of different forms that I fill out. There's a place for your first address and your second address. And sometimes I think, boy, I really should put heaven as my first address, because that's where I'm a citizen up first. That's my first dwelling place. Of course, the world wouldn't understand that, and they'd think I was being a smart aleck. But I want to keep that in mind, that my first address is in heaven because of you. Not because I'm good enough, not because I did anything to deserve it, but because of Jesus Christ, my Savior, who said he's preparing a place for me. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't have told me. He told me the truth. He told his disciples the truth that day, and he tells us the same truth today. Anyone who believes and trusts in Jesus has their citizenship in heaven. That means we're only passing through this life, so we better not put down too deep roots. We want to make sure we're looking forward to what is to come. So Lord, bless us to be working toward that household, doing those home improvements, you might say. Not that we can improve on what you've done, but Jesus said, "Don't store up our treasures here on earth, where the moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Store up our treasures in heaven." There's no thieves there, and there's no rust, there's no moth, there's no decay. Our treasures that go forward to heaven will be there when we get there, and they'll be better than what we ever imagined. So help us to be storing up those most important things, the people around us, working toward that future house in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a seat, and we're going to look at these different words and break them down just a little bit here. So in Christ, we are no longer strangers. I like that. You know, strangers come to my house from day to day and from time to time. And whenever they come up to the door, what do? Say it with me. They knock. If you don't knock, I'm probably not going to come to the door. They knock because they're a stranger. When my family comes home, do they have to knock? No. They open the door and they walk in. I like that. Guys, once you're in Christ, you're no longer a stranger. You don't have to stand outside knocking to get to God. You are directly in His presence. You are part of His household. He has welcomed you in. You don't have to ask to come in anymore. You're there. Do I get an amen? It's awesome. That means whenever you talk to God through Jesus Christ, you're going straight to the throne of grace. Man, that is good news. That's the best news of all. You're not a stranger anymore. You're not a foreigner anymore. You're a citizen, and you're a part of His household. Praise the Lord. Man, it's so much better than any house that we have or household that we have here. We are part of the household of God. God's house has a sure foundation. Have you ever seen a house where the foundation failed? I remember one time they did this subdivision up in Imperial. I don't know. I'm probably showing my age. Most of you guys probably weren't even alive then. But anyway, they pushed a bunch of fill in, and then they just started pouring foundations all in there, and nobody ever really checked to see what it was being built on. The whole subdivision started to slide off the side of the hill. They had to condemn, like, most of the houses in there. And I'll tell you, there was a lot of hubbub over that because a lot of people lost their investments, and the person that was responsible for having those things built really got in a lot of trouble because the foundation wasn't sure. I can just tell you, if your foundation ain't good in your house, your house ain't going to be worth much, right? Well, here's the foundation of God's household. It's the apostles and the prophets. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. This Word is the foundation of the church. And not only that, the cornerstone. That's like what you start off with. It's what makes the whole structure what it's going to be. That cornerstone better be set right. And it better not move. Because everything's being measured off of it. And all of the weight of that building ultimately is pressing on it. And that cornerstone of the church is Jesus Christ. And if you see anything that calls itself the church that is not being built on the cornerstone, chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ, it is worthless and it's going to fall. And so we've got to make sure that as we are part of the household of God, that we base all of our everything on the foundation of Christ. If you're trying to base it on anything else, it's not going to be sound. And again, as I mentioned in prayer, God just really put it in my heart as I was praying. I was thinking about how Jesus said, those who hear my words and do them. You see, one of the ways that you're showing that your life is being built on the foundation is not just learning about Jesus, not just hearing what He says, but actually doing it. When we read it and we hear it, we should do it. I had a guy tell me one time, he was actually a pastor. And he said, you don't really think God wants us to do what it says in the Sermon on the Mount, do you? We're sitting right there in that office. And I said, yes. He said, are you crazy? I said, maybe. But I believe Jesus. He taught us how to live. And we can't do it on our own. I can tell you, the Sermon on the Mount will only be done if you are leaning on the Spirit of God and letting Him direct you. That's the only way you're going to do and live out the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what? That's what it looks like. A spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life. Making our decisions not based on what we want, but making our decisions based on what the Word of God says and the Holy Spirit leads. And as we do that, I can tell you, you're building it on the chief cornerstone. Our marriage didn't used to work real well. You know, I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. I mean, we've always been glad we were married, you know, and most of the time anyways, right, Shelley? And so we kind of muddle along, and then we'd have these hiccups, and we'd get all kind of messed up with one another and all that type of stuff. And I don't know, do I get any amens out here? I'm not getting very many. I think everybody's saying, oh, me. Oh, my. But here's the thing. When we started really trying to do it Jesus' way, and it wasn't just like the day we got saved, it just magically started happening. It's been a learning process. But when we really started trying to employ the way Jesus says to do marriage, the way that the Bible says to do marriage, it's amazing how much better it's working. We don't always agree on everything either. I know you guys probably find it hard to believe. But you know, God's got the answer. And if we'll just build it on his foundation, how about the rest of our relationships in life? How about your relationship with your coworkers, your relationship with your boss? Do I get any amens out there? Let's just do what Jesus says. Let's just try to please him, because you're not always going to please them. Just do it Jesus' way. It's building it on the cornerstone, doing what he says. Psalm 118 talks about this a little bit, about this cornerstone. In verses 22 through 23, Jesus said to them, and he refers back to this in Matthew 21:42. That's not a discrepancy. He's referring back to Psalm 118 whenever he speaks of this. Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? Did you hear that? The builders were rejecting him. Who's the builders he's talking about? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders. They were rejecting him. You know what? You're going to come into people that reject. You're going to come across people that reject Jesus. It don't mean you're wrong, folks. You still need to make him your cornerstone. And he's the only way. He says that not only was it the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Is that marvelous in your eyes, to know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone? You see, that's one of those evidences. Whenever it becomes marvelous in our eyes, then we want his way more than our way, and that's when he starts ruling your life. That's when your life starts being built off of that. This stone doesn't move. I like that part. There's a lot of other stuff in the world that's moving right now. The whole world's being shaken right now, isn't it? It was so amazing how quickly things began to change. You know what? Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? And this stone doesn't move. Therefore, I say to you, he says, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. He's talking to the Jews there. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Guys, I'm going to tell you, whether or not you believe in Jesus, whether or not you trust Jesus, you're going to have to deal with Jesus, because he is it and he ain't moving. Do you ever notice? Do you ever feel like that you wanted things to be different than what it seemed like God was making things to be in your life? Do you ever have that experience where you just didn't like the way it looked like things were turning out? And I remember being in that situation a couple times and me arguing with God in prayer. Boy, you're talking about a useless effort. In fact, all it did was bring a lack of peace and discontentment. It was tearing me up. But you know something I noticed about Jesus? He didn't move. Praise God he didn't move. Because you see, if he would move because of what I said, and then I go and change my mind. Have you ever changed your mind? Yeah. That's why he don't move. Because his judgment is already perfect. He has perfect foreknowledge. He has perfect understanding. He doesn't move. He keeps going right where he plans on going. And you know when you'll have peace with him again? is when you come back and you say, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to go with you. He says that if you're having trouble finding rest and you're weary, then you need to get in the yoke with him. You know why he says that? Because he knows the way to go. And the yoke has two places, and he's in one of them. So when you get in that yoke, then he's helping you pull the load. When you're getting outside of the yoke, you're trying to do it on your own. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You're going to burn out. Don't get mad at him over that. And I hear people get mad at God all the time. And they say, well, God didn't do it the way I wanted him to. Well, I hate to be insensitive. So what? He doesn't ask us to give him direction. We need to take his direction. And we just need to go forward with him. And that's where we'll find our rest as we go forward with him. This stone doesn't move. Jesus isn't going to move for any of us. In fact, you either fall on him and be broken. That's how we come in salvation. The brokenness, broken and contrite heart. Or I'll tell you what, at the end, he's going to fall on you. And there ain't going to be any remedy. That's really what he wants us to understand. Now is the time to fall on him in brokenness. Receive salvation, because he isn't going to change. Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, and you know what? He doesn't stop there. He's the cornerstone. He's got the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. And now he wants to add me and you into that building, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And you know what? He's got more that he wants to add to that building, and he wants to use us to bring them in. Isn't that awesome? Do you want to be part of the growing household? Cooperate with God and let his Holy Spirit work through you. Because you see, he's got a plan. First Peter talks about this a little bit more. Peter talks about this in his first letter. He says, coming to him as the living stone, chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. As to the living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Same scripture being referred to there. That's from Psalm 118. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You get an amen? See how it's all coming together, so to speak? You're being built up. We're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in him, the scripture, behold, I lay a chief in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Hallelujah. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. So what's your address? Is your address found here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit? You see, what's so awesome about God's household is, ultimately, I'm going to end up in the place he's preparing for me. And while I'm waiting, he's preparing me for that place. And you know one of the first preparations for that place that happens? I become the home that the Holy Spirit lives in. Isn't that amazing? That's God. Only God can do that. You see, right now, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't have a temple in Jerusalem that we have to go to, because God comes to you. He lives in you. Don't you want to be a pleasing place for God to dwell? Amen. Not a grieving place, but a pleasing place. A place where he freely has full dominion over. Not that we have to give him dominion, but we, as we cooperate with him, then we don't hinder his work in us. The Bible talks about not grieving the Spirit and not quenching the Spirit. And the things that grieve and quench the Spirit, I think, is sin and disobedience and lack of faith. So it behooves us just to give him free reign of everything in our life. Amen? And I think the more we surrender to him, the happier we can be in Jesus. We were just talking about that in our Sunday school downstairs this morning. I love that song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I love the way that we can just find such freedom in Christ as we just trust him and obey. So I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Isn't that awesome? Has that happened to you? If it did, it wasn't just a secret thing. You'd recognize it. If you can't really pin down that moment that like God came to make his home with you, then I would suggest you seek to do that today. That's something God's doing in you, and it's something you need to respond to. You know, there's no, like, a lot of times people are like, "Oh, you know, that scares me to think like that." Guys, it's biblical. The Bible says that we should examine ourselves daily to see if we're in the faith. That don't mean that I'm afraid I'm falling in and out of it. It means I just need to make sure I'm in it. I need to make sure, where's my address? Am I really part of the household of God? You'll see the evidences. Because when God lives in you, you can't ignore him. I look back at my life before Christ, my BC days, I like to call it before Christ days. I could do things. I could explain it away. I could make excuses. It nagged me a little bit. But I could walk away from it pretty easy. But I can say that the day that Jesus moved in, the day the Holy Spirit moved into me, it became a lot different. I can't easily just ignore that leading of the Holy Spirit and that conviction that he gives me. You know, that's a gift. And I hope that you're receiving, you know, him through that gift every day of him directing your path. And he just wants to know, do you love him? You know, right at the end of right before he went back to heaven, and at the end of his time with the disciples, he came to Peter and the other disciples. They went back to fishing. You can find this in chapter 21 of John. And this is the exact question he asked Peter, who had denied him, you know, a few weeks earlier. He said, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" You know, he was giving them fish, maybe more than the disciples. I say it's more than anything. Do you love him more than anything? Do you love him more than your family? Do you love him more than your home? Do you love him more than your car? Do you love him more than even mankind? Do you love him? He wants to know. Because ultimately, it would be expressed out by us actually caring for his kingdom, his church, because guess what? That's our home. That's our household. Isn't that awesome? So do you love him? I had a pastor come into a pastor's conference one time scoffing at the idea of loving God. He said, "There is no place you're going to find in the Bible where Jesus says you got to love him." I hang out with some pretty unsavory characters sometimes. And, you know, I have to argue with him. I can show him a place right here, John 14, 23. He said, "Do you love me? And if you love me, you'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him, come to you, come to me, and they will make our home with us." Praise the Lord. Yeah, sure, it's not this ooshy-gooshy feeling of love we talk about, which it does come with some emotions, but it's love being acted out. That's the kind of love he wants to see. Let's pray. Then we're going to open the altar for anyone who just wants to come up and just say, "Jesus, thank you for loving me. I love you." Dear Father, I pray that you would confirm in us a true heart of love. First, your love toward us, Lord. If there's anybody in this place that's doubting that you love them, I pray that today it'll get settled and they'll understand that you love them so much. Father, you gave your only son for him. Jesus, you gave your only life for him. You poured out your blood on the cross for him, for us. How could you have shown us love any more amazing than that? And Holy Spirit, you love us so much that you'll come and live in us. Oh, Lord. And Jesus, you're back in heaven right now, as you said, prepare a place for us. That's love. So if there's anybody doubting the love of God this morning, I'm praying that they'll be able to see your love through what you've done and through your actions, through who you are. And then from there, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that wants to love you more, that they might just boldly come and pray, God, help me love you more. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we'll know for sure that we do, in fact, love you. And then we will just do what you say each and every day, do the next right thing. And when we don't, we'll quickly repent and continue on with you. Father, that is what a Christian life looks like. It's not a life that all of a sudden becomes perfect, but it's a life that's being conformed more to the image of Jesus every day. Help us to live it, Lord. Help us to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.